Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show, where, you know, occasionally history is made. And once again, it has been done here because Kavi made it back to the green room. I believe that I said that December was going to be where we tallied it up, but I don't know if you're going to have time to catch up at this point. I feel like when you got your win, celebrate your win. Like you won.
Right. You never catch up. There's no time.
Right. Time is relative.
I like how you're salty. You're salty. And it's like he does it once every like 10.
Let me have this.
Let him have his win.
I think it's 2-1.
All right. Well, you're listening to the Space Case Sarah Show. And if you're a little bit out of the loop, what has been happening is that we have this game where I hit new recording and it boots everybody out, and then they have to let themselves back into our recording studio, and there's a race to see who gets back first. And Kavi, we think because he's on the other side of the world, might have a slight disadvantage.
The game's rigged.
but every once in a while, he gets his win, and today was that day. The second segment.
Let's just talk about space stuff now, please. Let's talk about space.
We are talking about constellations and culture, and I think we can even expand out beyond that and talk about other kind of astronomy-ish related things. But you were talking about how astronomy in indigenous cultures like Australia go back like 60,000 years. I think that that is so incredible. And it's one of those things that grounds me so in such a significant way, because it humbles me to think that some of the same things that we see in the night sky 60,000 years, somebody else saw the same thing. And that to me is just some of those things that I are just so deeply moving. Benjamin went, but I'm saying like, think of like a lunar eclipse and how like, whoa, any eclipse to people.
Especially a solar eclipse.
Right. Oh my God. A solar eclipse.
You can't ignore a solar eclipse.
Was just, oh, well, I mean, it's even today. So I'm saying this having only experienced it in a 360 sort of virtual thing. I've never been to a full, never seen a full eclipse. I've been through many eclipses, partially, but not a full. And
you're in for a treat.
I know. There's a good one coming in, 2024?
Mm-hmm. In April.
Yeah, it's coming up all the way like right through the middle of the United States. It's going down in the southern states where the viewing will be practically guaranteed to be okay, whereas up in the northeast, it's a little bit dicier weather-wise. But when I see those 360 videos, it messes with your mind because you start hearing the crickets chirping and it's like it's dark and your brain hears the crickets and you're just like, yeah, it's nighttime. And I can't imagine what it would have been like to be someone experiencing that for the first time back when you had absolutely no idea why the F that's happening, right? You'd be sitting there cooking your meal, and then you're like, what? It's lunchtime.
Imagine they're like relatively advanced. Like you have a civilization that exists for you know several thousand years, and they develop stories around the sun and the moon, and you know they give them personalities, and you create a routine. You understand. You explain the you know astronomical behavior. Now that we understand, it's just orbital mechanics. And then it's just like something totally random happens. You're like,
right.
Why he do that? What, like, what?
Right, like, what? What be happened now? What? Yeah.
Yeah, we have angered the sun god.
Yeah. Well, and so... Christopher Columbus did that. So what I'm thinking about is... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was saying Christopher Columbus came over here, and he tried to get natives somewhere in the Caribbean to help him resupply or whatever, and they didn't want to, and he said, well, if you don't, I'm going to take away the sun. But he knew that day there's going to be a solar eclipse because he comes from a science.
Sneaky bastard.
blew their minds. And yeah, so he brought the sun back, and they helped them out. I forget which
island. Yeah, that's a little devious.
it's pretty interesting.
Well, it's funny too when you think about like comets and mm-hmm. the stories, the I don't want to say the folklore, but the what am I trying to say? What's the right word? Like the superstition that was behind comets mm-hmm. is very universal around the world, that like a comet was a bad thing, was yep. not a good thing. And then you have enough recorded history building up that somebody's like, who do you put up to? Well, it kind of seems to come at intervals, like, right? Like it shows up at the same time. Maybe this is not a sign from a deity that a king is going to die. Maybe it's a thing that we can observe and measure. Ergo the birth of science. But comets are
you have to.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, it's interesting. You have to get to a point where, like, firstly, the lifespan of human beings is long enough to see a repeat event,
yes.
And or you know, and if it's not an individual person, you have to have recorded history or you know, right. an oral or written form to pass on that information from generation to generation. But to get to that point where you're putting in that effort, you need to be comfortable in a survival sense, meaning
yes
you, like in order to focus your efforts and, yeah
yes
like yeah. you're not like focusing all of your energy and efforts just on surviving and on getting food and not getting killed. It's like, okay, we're chill here, what's happening up there mm-hmm. or out there. I always like to think of astronomy not as looking up at the sky, but at looking out into the universe, which is, I think, for kids especially, that first time that they realize they're looking out and not up is something that's very unifying. Because I remember when I was living in Israel in the Northern Hemisphere, and all of my family in Melbourne in Australia was on the other side of this ball of dirt that we all live on. It's like, we're not looking up, we're looking outwards and seeing the same sky.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, that's just my little
yeah
thing.
Benjamin, my really computer is saying that you're offline.
I saw that blink up. Everything looks fine to me. I saw it blink on and it blinked right off. It says,
you I see him.
And then it said reconnected okay. right away.
Mine is saying you're offline.
Are you
I'm
not
a little
recording
concerned. Because
I can see him there and I can see his line.
You can
it's
see
loading.
Squiggly lines. Okay.
I see just... all of you guys. Do you guys hear me at all and see me?
I can see you and hear you. It's just, it says you're offline and then there's no line and no squigglies. So,
all right. I think
well,
he's
I'll
there.
Just, okay. I'll
he's with us in spirit.
He's, we'll name a constellation after you.
Yes, David Bowie.
No, I think, again, the thing that I think is just so wonderful about astronomy is the deeply unifying thing that looking out, not up, but out, connects us all, because I have traveled the world rather extensively over the past year, and it does not fail to move me to look at the moon wherever I'm at and know that that's the same moon mm-hmm. that I saw back at home.
Yep.
And there's something so, so just beautiful about the concept also of looking at the rising sun. And I know this is, again, I'm just this sappy romantic person. I see the sun rising and I often think about the Egyptian culture that, like, this, in, you know, for a time, the entire civilization decided that they were going to be monotheistic instead of, you know, having many gods. They were going to have just one god, and it was going to be the sun god. And they completely uprooted their whole civilization and moved the capital of their city to another area. And then, you know, that all fell apart. And then they tried to erase that pharaoh from history. And then they moved everything back. And I'm looking at that same sun. I'm looking at that same sun that caused all that drama in history. It's that same ball of, you know, fire in the in the universe that caused all that. and I'm looking at the same one. And to me, that's just like, I don't know. There's something so profound about that.
I mean, such a blip relatively, right?
It is, yes.
Like the sun's just like, you know, churning away, you know, fusing hydrogen.
It's just doing its thing.
Yeah. It's just doing its thing. And it was doing its thing long before we got here. And it will be doing its thing long after we're not here anymore.
I know. Oh, cool. But it like completely uprooted and changed people's lives in that culture. In many cultures, the sun's kind of a big deal to a lot of cultures.
Pretty big deal.
It's kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Hey, everybody, come see how good I look. So constellations. The other thing I wanted to kind of drop, you know, knowledge that I know, because I don't know. I feel bad. I always call myself a lazy astronomer. I kind of am, but I'm not. Some people, they know every constellation in the sky, and I'm like, yeah, I know the major ones. Mm-hmm. But
like Canis Major, Ursa Major.
That was good.
Major.
But oh gosh, now you reeled me. What was I gonna say?
I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say that I think it's Australia too. But there was one indigenous culture that instead of the constellations being the bright spots, they found the shapes in the dark spots.
That's something like, that
yeah,
I think a lot of the different Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island cultures within Australia would do that. Especially there are different names for this particular constellation, but I think the Wiradjuri name is Gagurman, which is basically the great emu in the sky, and so the center of the Milky Way. I mean, if I had visual aids, I could point it out to you, but you can kind of picture like
we're on radio. There's a,
yeah, I was always told that I had a face for radio. So there's like a larger rounder part that kind of tapers off from right. kind of like the body of the emu to the neck and head of the emu. And right. And that's kind of like the black center, the dark center of the Milky Way, rather than, like you were saying, being formed from connecting individual dots.
From the light, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so they made shapes out of the dark patches the where there weren't like any inverted stars. Yeah. And awesome. So
that's fantastic.
I don't remember the name of the program. I used to have it on my computer and I don't anymore. But yes, you can choose a culture and it will tell you the constellations from that culture as opposed to the, so cool. the Western. Yeah, I know, mm-hmm. right? Benjamin's dropping his jaw. It's
like download really cool. immediately.
That's what I'm doing.
Yes, and it's free, or you can find it. Can you say the name of it again, Kavi? It's
Stellarium.
Stellarium.
Americans say Stellarium.
Stellarium. I've heard
like,
it as
like yeah, Stella. Yeah. Like,
but it's like but it's star. Free. For a download, free. Or you can use it just through your browser. It's a little bit slower through the browser in my experience, but you can find not only different cultures, but you can also find locations, and then you can choose a date. So you could go and find where you were born geographically and the day you were born and look at the sky as it was the day you were born.
I'm loving Benjamin's face. He's just like
he's like on an adventure right now. He is on an adventure exploring.
Yeah, there it is. The great emu. He sent it in our group chat. Exactly.
Oh, sorry, guys. You always think of constellations as this collection of points in the sky, but then I hear just now for the very first time that there's a culture that made constellations out of places where there's
the darkness,
empty space, and it's beautiful.
Yes. Isn't it?
Yes. It's so
well,
cool.
And you have to think about it too, because in these cultures and you know a lot of them, and I have yet to experience this myself. But when you're in a dark sky location, you actually can't even find constellations, from what I'm told, because there's so much. There's so much you can't figure out where things are anymore because you're seeing so mm-hmm. much. So I can see how that they would find a constellation in the darkness because they had such less light pollution. So people, turn off your front porch lights. God,
turn off your darn light. Yeah, no, I was out in it's like a 6-hour drive northwest of Sydney, so it's like middle of nowhere. There are a lot of great you know, like professional telescopes or observatories out there, and my partner and I were camping out there, and the great emu in the sky was like the most prominent thing that you could see, because everything else, like you're saying, it's just a mess of stars in every direction. And it's just so, like, you look up at the center of the Milky Way and you see this dark blur and shape, and it's like, I get it now. I see.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. Yeah.
It's because you're in Australia. I mean, it's so easy in theory to get away from big city lights and go out into the middle.
You could do the exact same thing. Go to Owens Valley. It's probably equidistant for you from California. Mm-hmm. Just drive towards Nevada and stop in the middle of nowhere and you'll be fine.
Yeah, you got some good dark areas if you just go a little
Owens
east.
Valley?
Oh, well, like Owens Valley specifically is somewhere I went a few years back. There's a radio telescope there and lots of mosquitoes if you're there in the summer.
Okay.
But yeah, it's,
I'll be
it's
sure
kind
to
of...
tell my son Owen. He has his own valley.
Oh, we need to take a break and we'll pick this up. It's, you know what? I have to just say really quick before we take the break that it is so fun for me to have conversations with you guys, because I'm like, what? We're already at break time. We talk. It's so much fun talking with you guys. I feel like we would be in big trouble the day that we get together in real life, because we'll never stop talking. So you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.